All right, everybody. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Thank you so much for joining us today for our Perform Care claims training. We're so happy to have you here. We're also very excited because we've Change Healthcare here with us, and they're going to take over the second half of our presentation. Just a few housekeeping items. We are going to be keeping all participants on mute today. Throughout the training, if you have a question related to the content that we're going over, please put it in the chat box. We are going to go ahead and try to answer those questions as we go. Anything that we don't answer during the training is going to be sent out with our training materials and along with the Q&A sheet. So some of you did request some topics, or you had some questions that you filled out with your SurveyMonkey when you signed up. A lot of the suggestions and requests we are going to cover during today's meeting. But if we don't get to go over them and they were more specific, we will have them addressed in the FAQ. So please watch for those materials. And I would say that they're going to come out probably later this week once we finish up the training and finish up the Q&A sheet. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen here, and we're going to get started with the training. On the line, we have Perform Care, so we're going to go ahead and we are going to introduce ourselves today. I'm Holly Coker. I'm the county executive for Lancaster and Lebanon County. Janina, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, everybody. My name is Janina Closter. I am also an account executive here at Perform Care, primarily for Cumberland and Perry counties.
Courtney?
Hi, Courtney Griggs. I am also an account executive for Perform Care, mainly over Franklin and Fulton counties.
Lindsay?
Hi, this is Lindsay Renaud, account executive for Dauphin County.
And do we have Kathy on the line? Sal?
Yes, this is Valerie Spicer, and I'm the team lead for Perform Care.
Wonderful. Thank you, Val. So we're going to go ahead and get started today. So just to kind of level set, some of this information, a lot of providers have already seen in past. So this is the overview that we use when we have a new provider that joins Perform Care. This is also on our website. It's currently not updated with the newest edition, but will be once this training is over. So some of this, again, is going to be information you've heard before. Some of it could be new information, just depending on when you've joined Perform Care and if it's been something that you've had to review with us before. Do realize that this is an overview of our claim submission process. So because of the time allotment that we needed for today that we're going to have with Change Healthcare, some things we may not be able to get into detail that you were hoping maybe that we would, or there may be some things that we review that aren't really related to your provider type of specialty. So just understand that it's a general overview of our claim submission process and just the basics at this point. And we just wanted to level set that before we get started. So we're going to jump right into it. So a few things that we're going to be looking over today is we're going to go over our resources. We're going to review our Perform Care website as well as NaviNet. We're going to go over the general information for Perform Care, along with our timely filing guidelines and then our methods for claim submission, as well as a review of the CMS forms as well as the UBO4 form. Normally, in a traditional claims training, we would go over Connect Center. Again, we've been lucky enough to partner with Change Healthcare, so they're going to be with us today to review that portion. We're also going to go over some common billing errors and denial codes, as well as corrected claims, and just a few of the different processes like administrative appeals and primary insurance updates. This agenda is going to go out to all participants from the training today. One thing you're going to find on here is our resource page. I know for myself as the newest account executive, I use this often. So please make sure that you take advantage of this page in particular because it has all of our resources for today's training and different links that you can use. We're going to start off by the review of our Perform Care website and NaviNet. Janina, do you want to go ahead and take our providers through that? I'll stop sharing my screen so you can share.
Sure. Thank you, Holly. I'm going to start by doing a review of our Perform Care website. I'm going to share my screen here. So our website for Perform Care providers in Pennsylvania is pa.performcare.org. When you log in, you're going to have a page, and you're going to want to start with our provider section. This is going to be most of the information pertaining to what you'll need as a Perform Care provider. I want to start by showing you where to go for locating your account executive contact information. So on the main provider page, if you go to the bottom, there's a hyperlink here for provider contact information. And then if you go to credentialing and contracting, you then have a hyperlink under our account executives button that shows who your assigned account executive is. So if you ever have any questions that you need answered and it's appropriate to reach out to your account executive and you need to know who that person is, this gives you that information. If after today's claims training, if you have further details that you need explained as far as the claims process or things that you're looking for specifically that we didn't go over, you certainly can reach out to one of us and we can assist. So I'm going to go back to this page here and go back to our provider homepage. Out of the way here. The next item I wanted to show is our network news button on how to sign up for our network news items. And this is again at the bottom of our provider homepage. You click on this link and it is a short registration, and this will give you an email notification whenever an item gets posted to our website, any new policies, procedures, updates, things that you need to be made aware of. Once you complete this registration, it is important to click the submit button, and then you will get an email immediately asking you to confirm your registration. That last step is very important to finish your registration with our network news sign up. Also on the provider homepage, I want to bring your attention to our latest updates. This is, you know, more recent items that have gone out on the website by date order. As far as our policies and procedures, training, things of that nature. And then also, those items are also located here under our resources and information page, under administration and operations, and then policies and notices. This is where all of our Perform Care policies and procedures are located, and a lot of the policies that we'll be reviewing today can be found here on this page. Under the provider section, the other item I wanted to bring your attention to is our training and education section. This is where all of our trainings are located, and today's training will be posted here as well once we have the recording completed. Also under the provider section is our claims and billing section. This is a lot of our claims and billing information that we'll be going over today. The claim submission overview is the PowerPoint that Holly's going to be reviewing today, and we will get that updated at this hyperlink once we have it finalized from today. So that new hyperlink will be here. Under our self-service tools, this is where you can find a link to our Navinet page. I do need to get the Navinet button fixed, so I'll make sure that that's updated for providers to go out to, but when you click on this link, it brings you to our Navinet homepage and then our Navinet login screen. I am already logged into Navinet, and this is our Navinet homepage. If you have not used Navinet before, this is a platform that a lot of commercial insurances do use in addition to Perform Care. Each agency has what's called a security officer who is in charge and equipped to assign new users to Navinet. You can reach out to that person and ask them to grant you access to Navinet. If you're not sure who your security officer is, or you don't have one yet assigned to your agency or your own practitioner, you can sign up for Navinet as a first-time user and be your own security officer. You just need to have information about your agency specifically related to your tax ID information to get signed up. So once you are registered and signed up for Navinet, you will see under health plans, again, I mentioned that a number of different health plans use this feature, this portal, including Perform Care. So all of your functions for Perform Care are going to be under the Perform Care tab.
On this homepage, the workflows that you're going to be using are located here on the left-hand side. And the first item that you're going to see here is our eligibility and benefits inquiry. This is where you can actually verify member eligibility information. You would input the member ID number, either their Social Security number, their medical assistance ID number, their Perform Care 7-digit number. That goes in this field here. Or you can search by their last name, first name, and birth date, and enter the date of service, and then click search. We do have a user guide for these features that's on our website, back on the Perform Care website. And this page here, this is the page that starts with the eligibility and benefits to kind of give you a guide on how to use that feature. Search box. And then this is the information you're going to see returned. You're going to be looking for this main button here that has the green active bar. This tells you that the member is active and eligible with Perform Care on the date of service. On the left-hand side is going to be a list of benefits under the member's coverage. The only benefit link that we have activated for Perform Care providers is our health benefit plan coverage. And that's this first button here, and that's going to tell you what their current coverage is under Perform Care. Going back to, with me here. Back to NaviNet. We're going to go back to the Perform Care tab, and under Workflows, you have the options to do a claim status inquiry. And again, this is where you can search the status of a particular claim. There are search fields that you can really customize this. And then under the instruction guides, we do have instructions on how that can be done. Just to that page here. And again, this guide is on our website. When you do a claim status search, you can return either one particular claim or multiple claims, depending on how you put the search parameters in. You're going to see the status of that claim here on the next page. You'll see that it is finalized and then what the outcome of that claim is. And some more information about that claim. In this page, you can also do what's called a claims investigation, and those instructions are also on our website, and that's what this looks like. There's an investigate button when you do a claim status search, and then with this investigate button, you can ask us a question about how that particular claim processed, so if it was a denial that you're unsure of as to why it's denied, or a particular denial code, or if a claim underpaid or overpaid. If you need to notify us of an update to a member's TPL insurance that Holly's going to go over here shortly, this is where all of that is done. So again, you're going to click on this investigate button when you have that particular claim pulled up, and then you can enter a message to us that we can see on our end, and then we will respond to that message with a response to you. And then you'll see those responses here under your investigation list. And it will show what our actual response to that investigation is. Going back to our Perform Care page, we also have two different reports, and they're under the administrative reports. And in this section is our authorization status summary report and our claim status summary report. So you can, again, check the status of authorizations and check the status of claims. And we do have these instructions also located on our Perform Care website. Are there any questions about any of the information that I went over on the website or in NaviNet? All right, I'll turn it back to Holly. Thank you.
Thanks, Gina. All right. Share my screen again here.
So just a little general information about Perform Care. On this claims training, we do have our general information of where you can find where you would mail paper whether it be paper claims, whether it be your third-party liabilities, which are TPLs, your other networks, and your administrative appeals. For paper claims, you're going to send it to the PO Box 7308, so which it's Perform Care and SPA Health Choices, and then this PO Box, London, Kentucky address. It's going to be the same address, actually, for, like I said, the third-party liability claims, the out-of-network and administrative appeals, but there are different ways if you wanted to submit them electronically for each. So you can submit TPL, the third-party liability claims, electronically, or you can mail them to us. You submit them one-sided. You want to make sure you have your claim first and then your EOB. We really request that you don't use staples. You just want to make sure that you have your claim first and the EOB. You don't need to staple it together. We will be able to take it in the order in which we get it. The out-of-network claims, you can submit out-of-network claims electronically. That is something a little bit newer. We're currently updating our policy, and we'll be sending out that information at some point in the near future. So for now, we are going to request that you continue to mail them in, but there will be an electronic option here very soon for you, and we'll send that information out. But if you do mail them via paper, you just want to make sure that you attach the out-of-network agreement to your claim so that way we know which one you're referencing. For administrative appeals, you can either mail them to the PO Box in London, Kentucky, or you can send them securely through this email to Perform Care Appeals. If you don't have access to send a secure email, you can reach out to your account executive and we can go ahead and start one for you, and then you can email to this box. One thing we would recommend when you're sending anything by mail to us is that maybe send it through a way that you can certify it, so that way you can keep track of it. Because if you send it to us and you don't have a way to track it, if we don't receive it, we don't know that you sent it, nor can we verify that you sent it. So we do strongly recommend that you send it via certified mail so you can keep an eye on it. For Perform Care, and again, all this is listed on our website, we have a few different contacts that you can use. So for providers, when you want to go ahead and call in for our claim services, you're going to do our main number, and it's that 1-888-700-7370, and option one to speak to our claim services. They are there Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. For authorization questions for the care manager, the pre-search, you're also going to call that same number and hit option two and follow the prompts. We have the Connect Center number here, as well as the EDI, which is the 837 submissions. Just keep in mind that if you're submitting the 837 files and you're having issues with getting your claim submitting, you're going to have to work through your clearinghouse to resolve that. So we wouldn't have that information. You would need to work through them. And as far as our ECHO, which is our payment vendor, that's our third-party vendor, you can call them at this number here. And again, this is going to go out in the training, and this is also listed on our website. So first thing you need to keep in mind when you're submitting claims to Perform Care is our timely filing guidelines. So for all initial claims for both Capital Area and TMCA counties, you have 60 days from the date of service when we are primary. So you have from when you see the member and you provide that service, you have 60 days to get that claim to us. For secondary claim submissions, you have 60 days from the date of the primary insurance EOB and when they've made their determinations. You have 60 days from that determination, and it must be less than 365 days. So that is included for both Capital and TMCA counties. For corrected claim submissions, you want to make sure that you're putting the code 7 in field 22 on the 1500 form. I went ahead and I pulled that up for us today just so I could reference that. I'm having a hard time pulling that up because my meeting controls are in the way. So for corrective claims, I don't know if you guys can see that. Let me just reshare, so I'll show it to you. There you go. So for a corrective claim, you're going to go ahead and put that over here in that box 7. They're going to put the 7 in box 22 right down here. You're going to put that 7 there, and you want to make sure that you are referencing the original claim number. So again, you put the 7 there and the original claim number here. And for corrected claims, then you have, you're going to go ahead and have 365 days from the date of service. As long as it is a corrected claim and not a rejected claim. So yeah, so you have 365 days from the date of service for a corrected claim to get that to us. For replacements of claims, for replacement of a claim that is overpaid and after 365 days, you can go ahead and send us a refund check with the detailed claim information. A replacement claim should not be sent, should not be resent in for a replacement claim. A replacement claim that is underpaid, so after it's 365 days, these claims cannot be paid as they're beyond the 365 days, and that goes for like corrected claims and admin appeals. And then voided requests, you're going to go ahead and submit voided request with the resubmission code 8 in field 22, kind of like where I showed you where that 7 was. You're going to put an 8 there. And on the UB04 form, you're also going to have a frequency of 8, and there's no time limit for a voided claim request. So just to keep in mind the difference between a claim that is accepted and denied that you're going to go ahead and send in a corrected claim for, and the difference with a rejected claim. So rejected claims are once they're not in our system. So if you get a claim rejected, claim rejection, which will either come through the mail or you will see that through an electronic notification through NaviNet, we won't, that's, you still, your 60-day clock is still ticking. So for instance, if you see a member for date of service on January 1st, you submit the claim to us on January 16th and we reject it. Your 60 days do not start from that 15th when you submitted it and we rejected it. Your 60 days are still from that January 1st date when you saw the member. So you need to keep that in mind and watch out for your claims to make sure that when you receive those rejections, you're correcting them and you're submitting the claim. So there's two ways that you can submit claims to Perform Care. There is our paper or electronic. So the paper is that 1500 claim form that I showed you for professional claims, and then for like hospital and institutional claims, you're going to use the UV04 claim form. Or you can submit the claim electronically. You can submit through Connect Center. The Connect Center, we're going to have our friends from Change Healthcare review that today of how to submit a claim, as well as how to submit a secondary claim, which would be new information. I know that a lot of our providers and participants, when signing up for this training, when asked what they wanted to see, one of the biggest things that providers wanted to look at was how to submit a secondary claim electronically, and we're going to be able to show you that today. And we'll get more into that a little bit later. So again, you have your paper option or electronic, and then also to your 837 files. So on this training, we do have what each field represents on the 1500 forms, as well as the UB04 forms. So this is also in our provider manual as well, in which we have both on this page on the 1500 form, as well as the UV04 form, and what each field means. We have a link to our provider manual. You want to make sure that you take advantage of that, because that we have a really good breakdown of what each one is on there and explains it. So if you get stuck or you're not quite sure, you know, what these things mean, you can go ahead and reference that. Normally in a regular new provider training, and that's normally when we do these trainings for providers when we bring you on board, is we go over our Connect Center. But again, today we were able to partner with Change Healthcare and they're going to do that piece. So we're actually not going to go into that, but on this training today, you're going to see here where we have our plan identifiers. So there's two links. There's a link to the Change Healthcare where you can go ahead and sign up for Connect Center. And then here's your plan identifier. You would need this when you sign up. So when our friend Bob goes over the information today to show you how to submit a claim, he is also going to go over how to sign up for Connect Center. You would need this information right here for Perform Care to go ahead up and set up your profile. One of the things that I would say from an account executive when I work with my providers, and I know that my fellow account executives kind of deal with the same thing, there's also a lot of questions around billing errors and kind of what they mean. So we kind of wanted to go over our most common billing errors with you today, and just some of the general questions that we get. So there was a question about if claims, especially paper claims, had to be submitted on the original pink and white CMS 1500 forms. They do. You want to make sure that you have that pink and white form, and you want to make sure that you have a way to fill it out electronically. We never want you to hand write on the forms, and we strongly discourage it. And the reason why is that it could definitely create delays, because when you hand write something, maybe, you know, your handwriting may not be as legible. And so when we're, you know, submitting the claim, we may not, you know, we might get a digit mixed up. So we recommend you don't handwrite them on at all. Same thing if you're submitting a corrective claim, you never want to put the word corrected at the top. You want to make sure that that's where that seven digit in box 22 comes in. So we never want you handwriting on the claim, because we're not going to look at those notes. We're just going to look out all the fields that are required to be filled out. We wouldn't look at anything you can write on there for it to be accurate or true. An NPI is one of our larger issues as well. So not having your NPI registered on the Promise website. So as a lot of providers know, it is a requirement for a Perform Care provider to be enrolled and have active MA enrollment for the provider type and specialty. So as you enroll, not having the correct NPI enrolled with Promise is an issue. Your federal tax ID, so not having that up to date on your Promise enrollment is an issue. That's something that we need on your claim. And if those two things don't match, or you don't have that enrollment up to date, then that's going to cause an issue with your billing. The members need, so the members Medicaid enrollment ID. So sometimes I know that can get confusing, especially when the member maybe has primary and you're wondering, do I do the Blue Cross and Blue Shield number? What number do I use? It's going to be the member's need. That can cause some issues at times. Your diagnosis codes. So diagnosis codes sometimes can be a little confusing, but for instance, when you're billing for a behavioral health service, you want to make sure that you have that mental health diagnosis code. You wouldn't want to use a substance abuse code for a mental health service and vice versa. Your diagnosis codes have to match for the service that you're providing. Your place of service codes is another issue that could be that could come up. So for instance, each provider should have a fee schedule from Perform Care, and on that fee schedule, for each of the CPT codes, you are contracted to bill and will have a place of service that you are allowed to bill for. So you have to pay attention to that, because if you put the incorrect place of service for that CPT code, you're automatically going to get a denial. I use telehealth a lot as an example, just because some providers have gotten confused with that. So essentially, for example, if you see a member in person and you accidentally use the 95 modifier, which is not a modifier you would use for in person. 95 is for telehealth. If you would put the 95 modifier for an in-person visit, it's going to deny. So you want to make sure that you know your place of service codes and which codes and which place of services you're allowed to bill for each one. For our rendering providers, so that's something you also want to make sure that the rendering NPI and taxonomy code, if your rendering provider is different from the billing and holds the license with the state to perform the service, you want to make sure that that's correct on your claim form. Your billing provider, so for the CMS 1500 form, the billing NPI must always be in the provided in the box 33A, and you have to have your ZZ qualifier in billing and your billing taxonomy code in box 33B. For the UB04 forms, the billing NPI must always be provided in box 56, and the qualifier B3 and taxonomy code must be in box 81. So when I talked about these breakdowns of what each one of these things means, when you go back, if you get a denial or you see that you're having issues with your billing, use this as a reference. So that way, when we say that for the UBO form, the billing NTI must always be provided in box 56, you can just go right on up here to see, well, what box is 56 and what does that mean? So make sure that you utilize this as a resource as you're going back later on after the training and utilizing this to review. For your qualifiers, so the appropriate qualifiers for your taxonomy code is ZZ for the CMS 1500 form and B3 for the UB04 claims form. So you want to make sure you have those on there. Another thing that we see sometimes is having multiple years on different claims. So the beginning of the year, you can see that a little bit more often. Say you have a member that you see on December 26th, and then you see them again for services on January 2nd. Although it may have been about a week in between, normally you would just go ahead and put those services on the same claim form. Because they're in two different years, you're going to have that claim denial. The services that you provide, if you're going to put two different dates of service on a calendar, on a claims form, they have to be within the same calendar year. And this rule would apply for both medical and hospital claims. We've also included our common denial codes. So these are the codes that we see more frequently with providers and that we see more often and when they provide an explanation. So the Z99 code that you can see on a claim form, see on the denial, is so that means that the code that you put on the claim is not payable for your provider type and specialty, and that there's not a provider agreement on file. So again, that's where your CPT codes and your modifiers and your place of service and your diagnosis all go hand in hand. So for instance, if you bill for a mental health service and you put a diagnosis code of physical health, we're going to deny it because that's not the appropriate diagnosis code. If you put a modifier that's not on your fee schedule, so if you put that you did the service maybe in a place, like a place that you shouldn't have, we're not going to be able to pay for that. You're contracted for certain things. If you don't know what code you are contracted to bill and you need a copy of your fee schedule, I know we just sent out rate updates in May, so we sent out a lot of those codes. But if you need them again, please make sure that you have your practice manager or whoever takes care of filing that information away in your practice. You want to make sure they reach out to their account executive, to myself, Courtney, Janina, or Lindsay, and we can get that for you. The ZHL, so this is a duplicate, disallowed, or unbundled service. So if the member is having another treatment at the same time, you're going to see that. So for instance, if you're treating the member and they're also in a residential treatment, you know, facility, and they're having two services at once, you'll see that duplicate or disallowed unbundled service. The ZK1 invalid deleted code modifier description. So is the billed modifier, again, that's your modifier, you want to make sure it's valid for that service. The ZR2, so that's for when you need to submit the original claim number. So sometimes what happens is when we talked about those rejected claims, when you get a rejected claim, again, that's not in our system, so we don't have an active claim number for that. And when you submit a corrected claim with a rejected claim number, you're going to go ahead and get this code, that ZR2. So what that means is that we don't have the claim number that you have on your claim. We don't have it in our system, and it can't be used. So you'll see that ZR2. Sometimes we get the X96, which is the explanation of benefits attached is ineligible or incomplete. So sometimes with that, the provider may have like other active insurances that we don't have. We don't have the explanation of benefits is not completed. The ZH4, which is the code or modifier, is not valid for provider type or made. So is your modifier, again, does it match with your place of service that you're supposed to be dealing with in your agreement? The ZH6 and N17, they kind of coincide with each other, and that's an invalid place of service. So again, is your place of service valid for your service and your provider type and specialty? So that's where those contracts come in place in those fee schedules. Z48 is not a final denial. So essentially, what was the primary insurance denying the claim for when you submitted to them? And then the 073, which is deny all claim lines. So this one's not really a standalone code. Oftentimes when you do see this 073, you're gonna see it with another denial reason. So for instance, for this one, for this claim example, they got the 073, which is deny all claim lines. And really what the claim denial reason was the ZR2. As you remember, we talked about the ZR2. And what that means is that when the provider submitted that corrected claim, they put the claim number of the claim that was rejected. So again, they submitted it originally, it got rejected. Instead of submitting a new claim, they submitted a corrected claim with that rejected number. And that's why they received that denial again, because we don't have that claim number on the file. So when we talk about submitting corrected claims, there's a few things you can do. Again, just like our claim forms are in our provider manual, so are our corrected claims. We have a whole section about submitting corrected claims. We talked about it a little bit earlier. So in the box 22, when you do a corrected claim, you want to make sure you put that digit 7 for the 1500 form. For a replacement of a prior claim, or if you're voiding out a claim, you're going to do the digit 8 in that box 22. You want to make sure that you enter the Perform Care original claim number. So you want to make sure, again, that you're submitting either the replacement claim or the voided claim for a claim that has already been accepted and was denied, not a rejected claim. When you're submitting a corrected claim on the UB04 form, you want to make sure that you're going to enter the correct bill type in field 4. And please make sure that you put the last digit of the 4-digit type of bill that was used to determine whether it's a replacement or avoided or canceled on request. So for example, the bill type 0117 indicates a replacement claim, where a bill type 0118 indicates a voided request. And again, all of this is in our provider manual on our website, so please make sure that you use this for a reference. We talked about this in the beginning a little bit, but just to kind of go over it again, and I can't stress this enough, that corrections are timely when you submit them within 365 days of service. So say, for instance, you see Mr. Smith for a service on January 1st, you submit the claim on January 15th, and it gets denied. You have 365 days from the date of service, so not January 15th when you submitted the claim to us and we made our decision. It's from January 1st from the date of service. Please do not put that corrected claim at the top of the claims form. Don't write on it. What's going to tell us again what that correction to the claim is when you put that number 7 in box 22 along with the accepted denied claim number that you're resubmitting for. For primary insurance updates, so our Act 62 for denial letters and EOBs, so those denials, you submit the paper claims and forms to the Perform Care website. For electronic claims, you have the option to add the primary payment information, and the denial reason code must be submitted with each of the claims. So today when Bob from Change Healthcare goes over the Connect Center piece, he will show us how to submit electronic an original claim and a secondary claim as well, and where you can put that information. After we receive the denial for the X62, you can go ahead and submit directly to Perform Care as primary, and you should reference RIDHS 21103 memo, which is right here. And so for those TPL updates, so you have three options to report these TPLs when you discover the member no longer has a primary insurance coverage. So you can do it through a claim submission. So you can send a paper claim with documentation, so whether that's the EOB letter, the EOB, the denial letter, or the eligibility printout, or what you're going to do is you're going to submit that to us, and you submit the claim through paper with that with one of those pieces of information, and we would go ahead and submit that to our TPL department for verification. You can also do a NaviNet submission, and you can do it through a NaviNet inquiry. So once you put that in that NaviNet inquiry, there's an option for a TPL discrepancy, and as long as you put in the what used to be the primary
carrier name, the policy number, and all those things, our claim staff will go ahead and look at that. And then they'll be able to send it to the TPL department for verification. And then last but not least, you can always call our provider services at the contact center, and you can ask them for that information. And they'll be able to walk you through that as well. You can give them a call, they can start the process that way. For our TPL underpayments, it's an automated process and it runs every Thursday to reprocess the claims that were previously denied with the reason code. So just so you know, that does happen on a Thursday. So if you submit this and everything gets fixed on Friday, it's not going to come to the following Thursday where that would be reprocessed, because we do that weekly. For administrative appeals, we do have our Perform Care appeals of administrative denials policy on our website, but we also have it included within this manual. So just again to reiterate, this is a larger overview of our claims and claim submissions, so we could make sure that we went over this information with you when we send it out. But I would definitely utilize this as a resource when you have questions and you can't get a hold of your AE. You definitely want to make sure that you look at this, because this has everything in it that we would need for administrative appeals. So for our administrative appeals process, the denials that are not approved because they don't meet the contractual or administrative requirements that are being reviewed, you may appeal them, especially for the PFO, which is submitted after the filing limit. For an administrative appeal request form, you must include it with every submission. And we do have it available on our website. So when Janita went over that claims and billing section, we do have the administrative appeal request forms on there. We have two forms. One is for our just a single administrative appeal. So if you're just trying to appeal less than 10 claims, you can fill out the single form. If you're filling out more than that, we do have a spreadsheet that you can go ahead and fill out as well. And submit that. Again, you can submit those through mail, or you can utilize the mailbox that we showed in a previous slide of our contact information. So all providers, both in-network and out-of-network, must submit that form, as like I stated, and it must be within 60 days of your claim denial date with all the requested information completed, or the appeal will be rejected for insufficient information. So this kind of falls in line with those rejections for claims that your 60 days will still continue on. So if you submit an admin appeal, say 52 days from the denial, and you submit it and it's missing information, it gets rejected, you still have that 60-day time frame. So you want to make sure you get those corrections in and get that admin appeal to us with the correct information. If you're unsure of what you should submit or how you should submit it and you still have questions, you can certainly reach out to your AE and we can help you review that. Before submitting the admin appeal request to Perform Care, you must have billed the claim and received the claims denial notification. So the request won't be processed if we don't have a claim number on the request form. So again, you can't submit an admin appeal for a rejected claim. It has to be a claim that was accepted and denied, and you have to have that claim number on the form. As we spoke previously, you can go ahead and either submit the administrative appeals to this website, to this address down here, to our Perform Care address in London, Kentucky, or you can submit it through email. Again, if you don't have a secure email address, you can reach out to your account executive and we can initiate one for you, and you can go ahead and send it along. Each appeal should be specific to only one member, one service for CPT code, and can't include multiple dates of service. But can include multiple days of service. And appeal decisions are made within 30 days from when we receive them. So for time purposes, I'm not going to go over the nitty-gritty of the rest of the admin appeals. I just want to kind of touch base on the bigger things and the bigger questions that I know come up when providers are submitting, especially for the first time. Please utilize this documentation, so that way if you have questions, you can go back to it. We talked a little bit about where you could find these forms. So again, Janina did a really good job highlighting our website and going over that. And so it's under our Perform Care website, under providers, and then claims and billing. So that's where you're going to find all of these things today. The administrative appeal, this claim submission overview. So realistically, all of this information and all of these slides you can find on here, along with your Navinet claims investigation guide, information on paper claim submission, and then some FAQs about paper claim submission. But for the admin appeal, that's where you can find that form. This is that single administrative appeal form that I spoke about. That's where you would fill that out. And then what's required for the documentation. You want to make sure that when you're submitting an admin appeal that you look over all of this and make sure that you have all of these things included within your admin appeal. Some larger reasons maybe why it was rejected, that your admin appeal was rejected and not approved, is that maybe the claim wasn't billed or the denial notice wasn't received before submitting the admin appeal. So you want to make sure that it is a true final denial from us before you submit that. You want to make sure that, again, you include that claim number, and then you have all of the correct information on there and there's nothing missing. Sometimes between, like I said, you want to make sure that was a final denial. Sometimes if it's not a final denial and a claim was reprocessed, whether it's an issue on our side or you've submitted a corrected claim and you're waiting, if the claim was already paid, you don't want to submit an admin appeal for it. It's going to be rejected right away because that's the first thing we're going to look at when you submit that. Not only are we going to look to make sure that the information you submitted is correct and accurate, but we're also going to make sure that that claim wasn't already paid to you. So, again, these are some of the reasons why they may be rejected. Please keep this for your research, your resources for later on if you ever need them. You can go ahead and look at that to say, like, well, why didn't they even accept it? You know, what was I missing? And then also, too, sometimes when you submit admin appeals, they're not always approved, and sometimes they are denied. So here are some bigger denial reasons of maybe why we didn't approve your admin appeal. So it could have been that you didn't have your authorization. You didn't have your authorization for the service. Didn't provide the documentation of eligibility, so for us to check back at that time, or you didn't check at that time. The request is 60 days from the final denial notice, so again, you want to make sure that you're looking at those and you're paying attention to how long you have from when we've sent that denial to you. And then essentially, too, if you're filing for an admin appeal for claims that are older than 365 days of service, we're not even going to be, able to review that. And then again, all decisions are final. So occasionally, you may submit an admin appeal and you think you have all the information and we do deny it based off of one of these reasons. And then later on, you find something, whether it was you didn't bill primary correctly the first time, that would be new information. At that point, you would be able to resubmit. So once, if there is no new information that's true information, the admin appeal decision is final, and you wouldn't be able to resubmit that. So I know that this is a high-level overview, and again, this shouldn't be super new information to everyone. This should be information that you've heard before, depending on maybe when you've joined your agency or your practice. Maybe some of this was new to you, and that's fine. We're going to send this out again with the documentation. But we just kind of want to do that high-level overview and introduce not only this presentation to you, but also go over our website. And our NaviNet website. Before we have Change Healthcare join us, I am going to pause for a minute and just kind of go over maybe some of the questions. I know that my fellow account executives have been answering questions throughout the presentation as they've come up. Are there any questions that we need to talk about as a group or review?
No, I think we're good.
Wonderful. Well, then I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing my screen because, again, Perform Care was lucky enough to, we always partner with Change Healthcare, but today we've been able to have them join us and do their part of their presentation to show us how you would submit an electronic claim through their Connect Center platform. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce the Change Healthcare staff, and then I'm going to hand it on over to them. Marianne, are you on the line today?
I'm so sorry. Yes, I am. I was just not fast enough on that mute button. Hi, thank you so much. We appreciate the opportunity to be with you here today. My name is Mary Ann Bishop. I'm actually located in Pennsylvania, and I am the senior client executive responsible for Change Healthcare's relationship with Perform Care. and just really happy to have this opportunity today. Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne. We're just so excited for you to be here. Michelle, are you on the line?
Hi, yes, this is Michelle Tyson. I am an employee of Change Healthcare. I'm the associate that handles all the service related to AmeriHealth Caritas for their electronic transactions, and I'm happy to be here.
Wonderful. And Bob, are you on the line today joining us?
Hi, this is Bob Robison with Change Healthcare. I'm on the communications and education team. Glad to be here today.
Wonderful. Well, before I hand it over to Bob, again, thank you, Change Healthcare staff, for being on the line with us. Just a few housekeeping reminders. As Bob goes over their presentation for the Connect Center, we ask that you continue to put your questions in the chat box so that way we can go ahead and review. After our training today, we will be sending out not only the presentation from today, but also Change Healthcare's their Connect Center training. And all these things will be posted on our website. We do request that you give us a few days to get this information to you, because what we're going to do is we're going to be putting together a Q&A sheet for everyone, and that's going to be sent out with the presentation. And it's going to take us a few days just to collect all the questions from both trainings, not only this one, but our claims training that we had last Wednesday afternoon. So just be patient with us as we get that information together. Without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to my friend Bob, and he's going to show you about Connect Center. Go ahead, Bob. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Holly. Hopefully everyone can hear me okay, and hopefully you can see my screen okay. I am sharing it. So you should be able to see the slide deck here, kind of just a brief little introduction there. I will be covering some of the basics of Connect Center or fundamentals. We have a limited amount of time today. I'll get through this as quickly as I can and carefully and as I can. So let's press on and take a look at what we'll be covering today. You should be able to see my agenda slide now. I'll do a brief overview of Connect Center, just some of the basic features, functionality that Connect Center has to offer. Then I'll actually be logging into Connect Center and go through a demo. We'll start the demo on the claim side. Processing. We'll show you the home page when you first log in and drop into the Connect Center. We'll introduce you to the home page. There's some great points of visibility to claim processing there. Then we'll get into claim management. This is where I'm going to actually jump in and show you how to create a professional claim. We'll start there. Some of the basics of the claim form, some of the tools, features of the claim form, some of the buttons that you should know about. We'll cover that. I'll do the same thing on the remittance side of things. After that, we will cover a professional claim, creating professional claim. We'll show you how to create a secondary claim also during the claim management part. But then I'll get into remittance management and show you how you can track and view remittances that were processed on Connect Center. Now, those will be processed and visible on Connect Center as long as you've enrolled for remittances on Connect Center. So I'll show you a brief the steps for enrolling on Connect Center for remittance visibility. We'll talk next about enhancements. I want you to know that Connect Center does get enhanced or updated on a regular basis, and I'll just describe a couple of recent enhancements there. I do want you to know about the help and support resources on Connect Center, so we'll kind of go through the things like online chat and the support ticket and other support resources there. And then I will pause and we'll check in with Michelle and Marianne. They, of course, will be monitoring the chat window to see if there's any questions submitted at that point, to see if we can, we'll provide answers there. And then we'll press on. I want you to know that we will be providing you with getting started guides. There are a handful of getting started guides we want you to take advantage of, and they're really good in terms of kind of taking a deep dive into each area that we've provided there in those guides. And then if you haven't signed up for Connect Center, I will show you how to access the sign up, and we'll kind of walk you through what that sign up process is. If you have already signed up with Connect Center, that's fine too. But if you haven't, I'll show you how you could sign up there. Next, I will walk you through some of the administration features on Connect Center. We'll do a demo of things along the lines of navigation and menu structure. I've got a what I call a fully loaded demo account on Connect Center, but you may have less menu items. So kind of walk through that. We will show you how to view the providers that are on your account in Connect Center, how you can add new providers or update existing providers. We'll cover that. And we'll show how to manage users. If you are an administrative user, I will show you how you can very easily view and add users on Connect Center. And a feature that I definitely want you to take advantage of in user management is how you can sign up for customer notification emails from Connect Center or from Change Healthcare. So we'll cover that. And then we'll have a final review if there's any remaining questions on what we've talked about regarding getting started guides or getting started setting up an account or any of the administrative features. We'll cover that at the end. So we'll have plenty of time for the questions and answers, okay? All right, so let's press on and talk about an overview. Well, when we talk about Connect Center, we're talking about a payer-sponsored portal or website. And what we mean by payer-sponsored is that your access using Connect Center is sponsored by PerformCare. And what that means is that there's no cost to you as a provider. Now, there is a limitation to that also, and that is that your access in Connect Center will be limited to the PerformCare AmeriHealth Caritas payer processing. All right, so it is no cost to you, but there is that single payer access that you'll have. Okay. Now, you'll be set up by registering an account on Connect Center. Again, I'll be walking through that with you, and there will be that PerformCare vendor code. We'll be showing you how to access that. If you already have an account and you've already logged into Connect Center, that's great. You're more than welcome to log in and kind of follow along when I do the demo in a few minutes. So you're more than welcome to do that, okay? Some of the basic features that you'll find on Connect Center, of course, as I said, it is a web-based portal. That means you need to have a browser to access it. All browsers are supported. It is available 24/7, so no worries about if you do need to use it after hours or on the weekends, no worries about that. Some of the primary features or basic functionality on Connect Center that we'll be showing you today, it does have the ability of creating claims. If you don't have a billing system or practice management system, you can use Connect Center to create claims. If you do have a billing system or a practice management system, you can submit batches of claims to Connect Center, so that's no problem that way. It does provide 24 months worth of processing history. So no worries about that. That's hopefully good enough in terms of all your processing needs. Again, 24 months of processing history. Once you've been on Connect Center for 24 months, you will have 24 months worth of processing history. And then again, when you enroll for the electronic remittance processing in Enrollment Central, you will have those remits that will be automatically linked back to the claims that you submitted or created on Connect Center. Again, remittances, also 24 months worth of processing history. And then a nice feature that if you accidentally download and delete a remittance file, no worries, it does have a requeuing feature for up to 3 months after the processing of the original remittance, okay? Connect Center can process professional institutional claims. We'll be focusing on professional claims today. As I mentioned, primary, secondary claims and tertiary claims can be created and submitted. And it does have a nice feature beyond just creating and submitting, it does have a nice feature that I'll show today that has to do with copying a claim, where you can, if you have a patient that's an existing patient, I'd rather not have you have a blank claim form. Every time you create a new claim, you can use the copy feature for existing patients that allows you to find a previously processed claim and very quickly, easily copy it and make a new claim. Again, for existing patients, that's a nice shortcut. You can at any time update and correct and resubmit claims. We'll talk about that. And it's got a very nice feature that allows you to set up claim templates. So if you have maybe a specific type of office visit for a maybe a common procedure code, diagnosis code combination, you can set that up as a template, and you'll find that then you'll have that template available that you can very quickly, easily use that template instead of having a blank claim form each time. So you'll see that. It does also provide real-time validation, which is a very nice feature, because as I say in just a minute, when I do the demo and drop into the claim form, you're probably going to say, well, Bob, I've never used a 1500 form online like this. How do I know what are the required fields at a minimum that I need to key in? You'll see we have this online validation tool that will tell you what's missing or invalid. As soon as you click it, you'll get a response back showing you what's missing or invalid. And we'll show you what that looks like today. So anytime you're creating, copying, updating, or correcting claims, I think that validate button on the claim form at the bottom will be your new best friend, because it will tell you at any time during that data entry workflow what's missing or invalid. Okay. So let's go ahead and press on, and I'll log in. I have logged in, and we'll start with the demo. Again, if you do have a Connect Center account, you're more than welcome to log in with me and follow along with me that way. If you don't have an account, no worries. So either way, now, I mentioned the homepage. So that's kind of the starting point. I've logged in. When you log in, you'll drop down to the homepage, and it has two areas that have to do with claim processing. The first one is this Claim Health Vitals area. Now, Claim Health Vitals is basically just a point of visibility recapping your processing results of your submitted claims. The default is that it defaults over the last 30 days. You can see here, these are the different date ranges that you can choose. Those are in the dropdown here. Again, the last 30 days of processing is the default. You can also change the date type, so we're flexible that way. You can see the submit date is the default, but let's say you wanted to look at a specific data service range, you can do that. Or if you want to see a date range of when the claims were sent to AmeriHealth Caritas, you can select that. The default is the submit date that the claims were submitted or created on Connect Center. All right, I've gone back 30 days. And then you see...
Bob.
Yes.
We don't want to interrupt you, but can you reshare your screen? Participants are saying that we can only see the claims reamendments management demo like slides. We actually can't see your screen. Can you do a new share for us?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Sure, no problem. Hang on just a second. Okay, let me try that again. 1 second. Let me stop share and then I'll reshare. Hang on just a second.
Thank you so much.
Sure. There we go.
Yep, we see it. Thanks, Bob.
Sorry about that. Okay. So I'm on the homepage. We're talking about Claim Health Vitals here. Again, it's just a recap of your processing results, showing you the current status of the processing on the Change Healthcare Processing a platform, and you can see the last 30 days is the default here, And there's different choices on the date ranges I mentioned. You can see the submit date, the date that you submitted the claim, and it processed on ConnectCenter. That's the date here. Or the service date range, you can change that to, or the sent to payer, you can choose that option. And then you can choose a different date range over here, including today's date here. And then anytime you update it, you can click on the icon there to refresh your search. And the search results down below are going to show the current processing status here in this listing. In this case, I've got claims that were all good standing. The good standing means they were accepted at Change Healthcare, transmitted to AmeriHealth Caritas. There aren't any warnings, no rejections or denials here. Now I can drill down. Notice if I just click on the pie chart there at the bottom, it's going to drill down into those claims and give me the first point of visibility here in a summary. We call it here this claim list search results. We'll talk more about this type of viewing options here throughout ConnectCenter more in just a few minutes. But for now, just know that the Claim Health Vitals is a point of visibility in your processing results of your claims. Again, just a view into the processing. If there were warnings or rejections, you would see those in different colors here in the pie chart down below. Now we have a work list under the task summary here on the left. This is a very nice feature that lets you customize and create work lists that are defined by here. You can see the work list include all claims, denied claims, rejected claims, warnings. Now, incomplete claims, this is a nice point of visibility also. Anytime you're creating a claim, until you click submit on the claim form and it actually indicates that the claim was submitted, the claim is going to be held in the incomplete claim form work list here. So I've got 62 incomplete claims. Now, they might be incomplete because I'm still maybe working on the claim right now and I had to step away and log out. But it also may be that the claim, an incomplete claim, is one of the templates that you have. I could click into this list and it'll show me the claims that I have in my incomplete claim work list on the right. Again, as I said, a template can be used where you've got it predefined for a procedure code or diagnosis code. You can see I've got a few of them here at the top. And if I wanted to open that up, very easy to do. I can just click on the work button there and it'll open up the claim where I can drop into the claim form. And you'll see there are action buttons in blue throughout ConnectCenter. At the bottom, you can see this is a claim I could delete here on the left. I could copy it and start a new claim from the template if I wanted to. I could save it. Now, ConnectCenter will auto-save your claims every few minutes, but if I had to step away right now and I had just done some data entry a moment ago, I'd want to click save, and it would allow me to log out and maybe take a phone call, see a patient, and then come back and continue on with the data entry workflow in the incomplete claim work list. I can validate. We'll talk more about this in a moment. That's the button. I think that's going to be your new favorite button. Whether you're creating a primary claim or creating a secondary claim, it's going to validate not only your data entry on a primary claim here, but it's going to validate your COB balancing on the secondary claim. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. That COB balancing, as you know, is extremely important to make sure all your amounts and your quantities and dollar amounts are adding up to make sure it's a valid secondary claim. We'll talk more about that. The submit button here on the lower right-hand corner runs one final advanced validation to make sure it is a perfectly created primary secondary claim. There's nothing missing, invalid, no balancing issues in the COB fields. And if it is, it gives you a green message at the top that the claim was created and you get it drops you back to the home page with a claim ID showing at the top of the screen, indicating that you've created a new claim with a new claim ID. Okay, so that's kind of just a brief introduction to the home page. Again, a couple different points of visibility in our processing of claims. So let's press on and talk about actually the options that you have here under claims. You'll have claim search. This allows you to search on any claims that were processed on Connect Center. And usually it takes a few minutes after you've created a claim. It'll take a few minutes for the claims to show up in the claim search option here. It may take a few more minutes, maybe up to an hour, to have your claims populated in the Claim Health Vitals area after the claims are created. You'll have claim file search. If you are a submitter of batches of claims, you'll want to use the claim file search. We'll come back to this in a few minutes. Very important that you can confirm that the claim files were submitted and processed successfully. We'll see that. This is where what you're going to use to create claims. So today I mentioned we'll focus on professional primary secondary claims. So I'm going to come over here, click on the professional option here, and it's going to drop us back into the claim form. Now, again, this would be, you could use this if it was if it was a new patient, first time visit, you could use this type of kind of blank claim form, and that's fine. I'll show you some of the features that are on the, you know, a claim form, the basic fields that you'll want to populate. We've got a couple different tabs that we're going to be talking about today. Of course, the 1500 form tab is the default. We will jump into the claim details tab in just a few minutes. This is where you'll access on your secondary claims workflow, but it'll also be available to you on a primary claim if you wanted to add additional details that you know don't exist on a CMS 1500 form in the 33 boxes. You'll know, or you should explore these, because there are additional fields that will exist in the electronic claim that don't exist on the 1500 claim form boxes. And you can come out here and collapse all and see all the different areas of this claim details tab that exists to you. If you want to expand all, you can click that and you'll see all the different fields that exist. This is where you could put a claim level note, for instance, in your claim. So we can talk more about that in just a few minutes. You'll do the same thing if you click on the service line details tab, same concept. There are quite a few more fields that exist at the service line level. And if I collapse all, you would see some of the areas here. If I expand all, you'd be able to see all the different fields that exist at the service line level. Again, if there was a service line level note that you wanted to submit, that would be found here. If you needed to send like a procedure code description on an unclassified procedure code, for instance. So those are the tabs at the top that you can take advantage of. We'll come back to the 1500 form here at the top. Again, the buttons delete, save, validate, and submit are at the bottom here. And then, as I said, I think validate is a very useful button to click on. You will not need to use the find payer button here. As I said, the connectivity that we offer on Connect Center is for the single payer. That's the AmeriHealth Caritas payer name and payer ID that will be pre-populated for you there. So you won't need to use that. But the validate button, let me go ahead and click that. Show you what this feature looks like. It validates if there's anything missing or invalid. And so far, there are quite a few fields missing or invalid on the form. And it'll come back and not only will it show me at the top in red messaging here at the top, but it provides me with links that it would allow me to click on a link, like let's say the total charge is required. Yeah, I know that that is, but where is that field? Well, that's box 28, and you'll click on the link or the hyperlink, and it's going to take you down to box 28. Now, the reason that's required is that it is something that you have to click into to calculate the total charges of all the line items. There's a little refresh button right there that calculates the total charges. So as you add the service line detail, the charges, we definitely require you to come down to box 28, click on the refresh button, and then it will calculate the total charge amount. Okay. Now, some of the other features here, you can see I can slide down on the right. There's a little slide bar that I could grab it and slide down and see the other fields. Now, each of these fields that has the link at the top also then has a corresponding red highlighted box down below showing the required fields. And you would just go through, populate, you know, drop into the claim form and start keying in. Now, I'm using Google Chrome as my browser, and Google Chrome has a nice feature that is remembering data that I've keyed into the fields previously. That's not a Connect Center feature. That's a browser feature because I'm using Google Chrome, and that's what these little black boxes are here. It's remembering data that I put in there previously. Now you can close the little warning messages there by clicking the X's. But you would just go through and populate the information here. On all the required fields. Now, a few more fields that I want you to know about that are very helpful. Holly mentioned this already, and that's box 22. That box 22, the default on a new claim is the new claim option. But if this claim, if you had, let's say we had, we're doing a correction, which I'll show you in just a few minutes. If I was doing a correction of a claim, I'd want to tell AmeriHealth Caritas that this claim is replacing a previous claim. And as Holly said, this is where your original claim reference number would go. That's the claim number of the original claim that you were correcting that was submitted previously. Typically, that's going to come back from a claim status message from the payer, or that could be on an EOB. And that's where that goes. Now, there are some nice features on Connect Center that have to do with some lookup fields. So here in box 21, where there's a diagnosis code required here, this has a lookup field. So if I were starting to key in, let's say I wanted to key in a description of a diagnosis, as soon as it makes a match, it's going to come back with a listing that I can select from. Now, this is nice for a couple of reasons. I may not know all the specificity of the codes, but notice what it does. It gives me all the specificity for the specific diagnosis code description. Now, on the other hand, if I do know the diagnosis code, I can just key that in, and as soon as it makes a match, it'll give me that diagnosis code. So whether I'm doing the description of the code, or if I'm keying in the code itself, as soon as it makes a match, it's going to come back and give me something, a pick list to choose from. Same thing down here. A couple things about the service line level requirements here. Notice that it's only asking me for a from date. It's not asking me for a to date. So the to date is not required. There is a range. If it is a range, of course, then the to date is required. But if it's a specific date, the from date is only required. Now, that from date, it has a description there of what the data entry needs to be. So it has to be the month, the day, the century, the year. And it has to include the zero there. If it's, a month like July, it's got to have a 07 there. So it does need to be a two-digit month, has to be a two-digit day, has to be a four-digit year, and it has to have the slashes there. A place of service, I think there was a discussion about place of service. Now, here, again, this is a lookup. You can start typing the description of the place of service, and it'll find the listing of available codes. Same thing for this CPT HCPCS. As soon as I start typing in a description, it's going to come back and show me the available procedure codes there. Okay. Diagnosis code pointer, that's going to point up to box 21. It's got to be a letter. In this case, it's going to be A. Charges, I'll put in the charge amount. And again, this is where once I key in a charge in the line item, I need to come down and refresh it to calculate the total down at the bottom, that little refresh icon. Days or units, I can key that in. Now, rendering provider ID, there's no provider ID there. There is a plus sign. Now, that's only required, adding a rendering provider here on the line item is only required if it differs, if there are multiple rendering providers on the claim, then you would have to specify. But otherwise, that is not a required field. Notice there is no red box on that. Now, you might say to me, well, Bob, I only see six service lines, and sometimes I need more than six. Notice there's a little plus sign here, this add service line. So I can just click, and it'll continue to add additional service lines there. So no worries about that. In box 25, that will need to be a provider text ID or social security number there. You'll have a patient account number. Now, patient account number can be anything you want it to be. It could be a patient last name with a numeric value added to it. It literally can be anything that you want. But it is required. Again, the box 28, that's to refresh the total charges. Now, box 33 will have, in this case, in my claim, it's already populating a billing provider there for me, University Medical. Now, that's because I set it as a default provider, and that's very easy for you to do. You can do it from here. There's another place I'll show you how to do it in the administrative provider management area. But here I can click this plus sign and it'll run out and show me my providers that I have on my account. And I can search, I can see my providers here. Now there's a green button over here on the right that I can identify this provider as a default. So all I have to do is click on it to set it as a default. To select it, I can choose the select button on the far left. Now I've selected it and I've set it as a default. So the next time I go to create a claim, it's automatically going to be populated for me. You'll see in just a few minutes when we get into provider management, you can set defaults for your rendering providers as well as your billing providers. I'll show you how to do that. Again, provider-wise, box the 24 service line, 24J does not require a rendering provider unless there's a second rendering provider on the claim. And in that case, you would have to come back up to the details tab and access the rendering provider information up here in the claimed details area. Okay. Again, only if it's if there's a more than one rendering provider on the claim. Again, I can click validate at any time, and it's going to tell me if there's anything missing or invalid. And I've got one final thing I need to take care of, and that's the gender here. Oh, excuse me, I forgot to change that. So here, it's smarter than me. Okay, so this is a new claim. It's not a replacement claim. All right, it's catching something that was invalid. All right, we'll set it back to new, and that's what it'll do. It passed my validations. At this point, I can click Submit Form. It'll go out and generate that new claim, get it ready to be transmitted to the payer, and it'll give me a claim ID back on, it'll take me back to the homepage at the top and show me that a new claim was created with a new claim ID. Okay. Again, at any time I could save it, if I did have to step away and I had just entered data, every few minutes it saves automatically. But if I need to step away immediately after I data entered something, I can click save. And that claim will be held in the incomplete claim work list. Okay, now I haven't clicked submit yet, so I can come back over here, home, come to incomplete claim to get back into it. If I logged out and came back, I'd find it over here. And there it is at the top. And I could jump back into it. Now, while we're here, let me just point something else out that we'll talk more about this. But while it's in this incomplete claim list of in the work list, there are other actions I can take. I could click on it. Let's say I wanted to delete this. I can delete it here. But let's say I wanted to set a follow-up date. Let's say this was a corrected claim. I could set a follow-up date here to make sure the claim was adjudicated, you know, processed and adjudicated by AmeriHealth Caritas. And then if I do set a follow-up date there, it would show up here in my follow-up work list. Okay. All right. So that covers kind of introducing you to the claim form on a professional claim. If you have any questions about that, please let Marianne and Michelle know in the chat window. These are some of the basics. I wanted to cover some of the basics, functionality, workflows of Connect Center on creating a professional claim. Just a final thought about this, just to recap it. Your payer information will be pre-populated. You won't have to do the find payer. Some of the checkboxes are pre-populated. You'll see some of those checkboxes here already pre-populated for you. And some of the other things about the number of line items, you can add number of line items, more than six. Six are the default, but you can add more by clicking the little add service line link there, and one at a time you can add more service lines there. You do need to refresh every time you add a new line item, a service there with new charges. You need to refresh it there by clicking the refresh button there. All the buttons down at the bottom, you can utilize anything of the blue buttons. You can delete this claim and start over. You can copy this claim again. If this claim was my template, let's say that we come back over here and I wanted to find one of the claims that was my template for an anxiety procedure or you know, office visit. I can use that. And the first thing I want to do when I'm in the template, I want to copy it. I want to leave the template there, but I want to copy it and start creating the new claim from the template. And once I have it here, it's going to tell me it was copied, and now I can start updating the information any way that I want here.
This is Michelle. I think this would be a good time to also show that claim details tab. Sure. Where you would enter the rendering provider taxonomy.
Sure. Let's go over here.
And here you have it already pre-populated because we found the provider.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just another reason to go into the claim details tab. Again, there's a few different reasons to use the claim details tab. That's one of them. Again, there are a lot more fields that exist on the details tab that will, you know, end up being in the electronic claim that go way beyond the CMS 1500 form 33 boxes. That's a good example. The other example would be adding a claim level note. So you can come here. Let me expand all. You can explore this yourself. We don't need to take the time today, but just know that click on the claim details tab, expand all or collapse all, and you'll see all the different areas that you can add. I think a popular one would be additional notes that you can add at the claim level. So I think most of the time, a claim level note would be something, maybe a unclassified, or I think a diagnosis code description, something along those lines, or some additional information, again, at the claim level. Another interesting thing about this tab is that depending on your provider specialty, there may be some specific fields to take advantage of that are specialty specific. So take advantage of that. Same thing with the service line details tab. You can explore all the additional fields. Now, if the field exists in both the details tab or, you know, one of the other tabs, and it exists in the 1500 form, if you do update it on the claim or service line details tab, it will also update it on the 1500 form if it exists in both places. Just want to be clear about that. Now, again, if you want to search on that claim a few minutes after you create the claim, you can come out here and go to claim search and find this claim search screen. Any of the processing statuses are available for you here on the claims. Any of the remittance status, if you've enrolled and are approved and are getting back remittances from submitted claims or created claims, any of those statuses are here available for you also. And then claim data fields, this includes the claim ID. That claim ID is like a FedEx or UPS tracking number that we generate on every claim that we process. The date ranges are here that we saw. The patient data, of course, your patient account number, patient name, that's available here. And then you can click search. We'll push this back a few months. And we'll do a general search over the last 60 days, and it'll come back and show us this listing. Now, I'll show you a feature that exists throughout Connect Center is going to be the search or filters. When you do a search and you get your search results, filters are going to be available. So I could filter on a patient last name. As soon as I start typing in the name and it makes a match, when it makes a match, it's going to find that name. Okay. You can sort here on the listing. You can see the little sort order has a little up arrow or caret. If I wanted to change it, I could come over here, let's say, to status and bring it over here to see the different statuses and just click on it again to change the sort order. Now, we'll talk more about these action items, these little icons over here. One of them has to do with copy. So this is where you can copy an existing claim and start building a new claim from that previously processed claim. Let's go ahead and show you that. That's a nice shortcut. I'd rather not have you accessing a blank claim form when you have an existing patient with a follow-up visit. Very easy to come out there, use the find the previously processed claim, copy it, and you can use that feature. Okay. Now that's what I wanted to cover for primary claims. Let's come back around and talk about secondaries. In some ways, it's similar. There's a similar workflow that starts with a claim. In this case, we're going to immediately change it to, let's say, secondary. Let's say it's a secondary claim. And we're going to start keying in, basically, you know, if it's for an existing patient, you can use the copy claim and copy that primary claim to start creating the secondary claim. And you would just complete the required fields. Now, the required fields are going to include, of course, things like the service lines and the coding and things that it would require on a primary claim. But where it differs is that you have to drop into the claim details tab and the service line details tab. And this is where I've got a guide that I'd like to walk you through and kind of just walk you through this. I don't have time to go through all the way on the actual claim form, but and we will be providing this kind of quick reference guide. We do have a video on this. I just don't have the time today on the demo to walk it through completely. But basically, it's just a variation of some of the kind of the workflow, the features that we've talked about already, and that is things like updating that claim type to the secondary there, making sure that your coding is there, make sure your service line detail is there, just as it would be required on a primary claim. Things that we showed there about your patient account number and your total charge refresh button, those types of things. And then jumping up to the claim details tab. This is where you'll start identifying things like the other payer information, the primary payer information, and the COB information on the primary remittance information. Of course, you do need to have that primary remittance handy. If you have a primary EOB, that would be required in order to start entering in this the primary insurance information and the COB information. And basically, you open up the this claim details tab and start keying in the required fields to identify that primary payer. You update this information here. Set the payer responsibility to primary. You're going to open up these the two sections on the insured subscriber. There's two different insured subscriber areas, one for the primary, one for the secondary down below. And you would populate those.
Bob, I think your screen may be
froze. Oh, my goodness gracious, not again. Oh, okay, hang on. I'm so sorry. I don't like Zoom because of this. So hang on just a second. I'm so sorry. Thank you, Michelle. Yeah, I'm describing the clean details tab that we have to jump up to and some of the details. Thanks, Michelle. I'm so sorry.
Thank you for pulling it back up. Okay,
yeah, I apologize. I need to remember to jump back to do that again. Anyway, so we would just be going through the claim levels, claim details tab to identify the primary secondary payer information, other subscriber information, and then ultimately we're going to drop down to the service line details tab to start keying in the adjudication information of that primary claim. And this is where you're going to open up the COB information, and you're going to start keying in the line items. Each line item, you would have to identify the procedure code. You would need to identify the adjudication payment date, the amount paid, patient liability, And you would just keep doing this for each of the line items from the primary EOB. You would add all this information on the payment date. And then you would get here to the adjustments. And the adjustments area has the group code information that you would click on that. And it would open up this to allow you to select each of the adjudication details here of each of the line items. And you could see these adjustment group code descriptions here to select. The reason codes there, and the amounts there and quantities. So you would complete all that. Again, validate at any time. And what it's going to do, it's going to validate. You'll see each of the lines that you've added. It will validate all the total adjustment amounts, dollar amounts, quantities, and all the paid amounts that have to total up to the claim level. All the line item adjustments need to add up to the claim level adjustment detail. Again, you'll be clicking validate, just like you would be on creating the primary claim. If there's anything missing and valid on the balancing, the calculations of the amounts, it would tell you that, and you would fix all those. And when you click validate and it calculates it correctly, then the green message appears, and then you would click submit form. Just like you're creating the primary claim, then it would do one final validation and create the secondary and give you a new claim ID on the secondary. That would be then transmitted to the payer within that same day. And I'll be showing you in just a minute how you can track that across as it processes within the next few hours and gets transmitted to the payer. You'll have some additional claim history visible on Connect Center. I'll show you what that looks like. So it's really just, it's basically a variation of the same type of workflow where you're creating the primary or you're creating the secondary. If you are creating secondaries, of course you need the primary EOB, so that you can add in all that adjudicated service line information and make sure it balances, calculates correctly by clicking validate. Okay. Now I'm going to jump back and stop sharing and reshare. Hang on just a second. We're going to jump back into Connect Center. And come back over here now. Hopefully you can see that screen now. And so that covers in terms of creating claims, whether it's primary or secondary. And then within just a few minutes after you've created a primary or secondary, again, you can come back over here to claim search. Set up the search that you want. You'll get your search results here. Again, within just a few minutes, you'd be able to come out here and see that claim that was here that you've created. Now, I didn't drill down into these points of visibility, but this is just the summary view. This claim search, this is our basic claim search results on Connect Center. And you can see from left to right, there's a claim ID. I'll click on that in a minute. That's the kind of our UPS FedEx tracking number that's created for each claim. You'll see patient name, service date, your charges, your payer ID, payer name will be always the same there. Your processing status is hyperlinked. I'll show you that. Your submitter ID. This is your submitter ID that you create when you create your Connect Center account. And then we've got some the action buttons here, the copy claim option. You won't have the claim status feature here. This is a real-time claim status inquiry option. But you will have download CSV if you wanted to download that report here. You'll see that. You'll have your page size here where you can bump that up, number of claims per page. And we've got the filtering I showed you previously, the sorting I showed you previously here. Okay. And then a few hours after you create that secondary or primary, again, you could come back over here and you'd see your claim health vitals over here. You can refresh those for today. Click the search icon and see those results here. And then again, the worklist has its own search options here. I can click on the search my worklist. And again, I could refine my worklist any way that I want. So again, this is totally customizable by you to update your worklist any way that you want. And these are the date ranges that you can set. The processing status is here. And you can see that, so I can refresh my worklist. And then it'll refresh it down here below, but it'll also refresh it here on the left. Now, if I did set up follow-up data, I've got one here, couple claims with the follow-up dates, I can then see those by clicking on the follow-up here on the left. Again, that's a nice feature to set if I had corrected a claim and I wanted to make sure it was received and passed the front-end validations at the payer and got into the payer's adjudication system and was adjudicated, I can set a follow-up date in the future, maybe a week or so, and remind myself that I wanted to follow up on that claim that had been maybe corrected and resubmitted. So that's how you can create claims. That's how you can copy and update claims. Let's show you how you can correct claims on Connect Center here. I can select this claim. I can see this is an invalid billing provider, MPI on this claim. So what I want to do, I can either, I can click work on it here on the work button. You can find your rejected claims in different ways using the search option, but here I can also use the work list option here. Now, as soon as I drop into it, it's going to show me across the top there. And what I want to do, I want to start use the copy button to create a new claim from that rejected claim. So the first thing I'm going to do is view it at the top. I'm going to copy that claim. I'm going to then get the new claim that I'm going to correct and resubmit. And I'm going to come down and correct it, update it. Click validate, click submit, and I've got that new claim going back out the door corrected. Then what I want to do, I want to come back. I can come back to the home page or I can go directly to the work list, either way, and I want to close that claim out. I can close it here by either clicking at the top or clicking over here on the right, and I can add a note. There's a nice little note icon here. I can click on that. If I wanted to add a note on the details of, why I corrected or how I corrected it, I could add a note there if I wanted to. So the trick is find the rejected claim, open it up, start working it, copy it to start the new claim, create the new claim, resubmit it, and then close the rejected claim. Okay. So that's the workflow of correcting a rejected claim. Now, if you are, that covers, if you were creating claims and correcting claims on Connect Center, that's what you would do there. But let's say that you are a submitter and you want to submit claims. Definitely you can do that here. Now, submitting an A37 claim file is, there are some requirements that we'll be showing you in the Getting Started guys. There's one specific one that's going to require a update to your A37 file in the submitter information at the top of that claim A37 file. There is submitter number information that has to be populated. But let's just say that you've updated the A37. You've read the Getting Started guide and you've updated the A37 data for Connect Center submitting purposes, and you've got a file, you can come out here. The mailbox is where you actually upload the file. So we've got the search over here after you've uploaded, but to actually physically upload it, you come to mailbox and you come over here and you browse out. We're going to ignore that message for a moment. We're going to browse out. You're going to have, let's say, a claim file folder, and those claim files can be any name that you want them to be. And you would select that. You would populate the file upload window, and you would click submit, and it'll go out and submit that file. It'll tell you that the file has been uploaded. And then roughly 5 or 10 minutes later, you would be able to come out and do the search over here using claim file search. So the mailbox is where you upload and upload claim files. You come to claim file search. We'll push this back. Well, I don't think I have any files uploaded here, but this is where you can set this the date range like you would elsewhere, whatever date range you want. And if you wanted to focus on a particular submitted file name, you could do that. I'm going to jump out on my other. I've got two demo accounts, and I'll show you what the file listing looks like after you do that search. And I'm not sure if I have to refresh my viewing or my sharing, but Michelle or Marianne, tell me, can you see this homepage now?
I see the homepage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Okay. So you come over here, do claim file search, and it's very similar. Again, as I said, either a date range or a specific file name that you can key in there. I'm going to put in a fictitious date range here. And again, we'll have a listing, similar functionality here, visibility here to elsewhere in the Connect Center, where I can filter on a file name or a file ID. I can sort any way that I want there on any of the columns. And the listing shows me my submitted file name on the far left, the Change Healthcare file ID. So just like we are generating a claim ID on every processed claim, we'll also generate a file ID on every processed file. We'll see the receive date, the claim count received, the dollar amount of the charges in the batch, and processing results here on the right. And again, anything that's hyperlinked or underlined on Connect Center means I can click on it and go from the summary view here to the detail. So you can see that. Now this differs slightly. If I were to do a search on claims, it differs slightly. Oops, let's go back over here because I don't think I did a search and drill down on claims over here. So if I do a drill down on claims, we had two hyperlinks here. We had the processing status and we had the claim ID. So on the processing status, on a claim search, it's going to give me this summary, the claim tracker. If I wanted to drill down on the claim ID, it's going to give me the claim tracker, but it's going to give me more in what we call the claim history and another area of the claim processing results. Here in just a moment. So you can see this, the claim tracker area is up here at the top. So anything you can see, it will go all the way through payer adjudication. Again, as long as you are enrolled for remittances, you will have the remittances linked back to the claims and you'll have all this payer processing and payer adjudication information. Claim history, this is going to show all the events of the claim with a date and time stamp, activity, messaging here. So every event in the life of the claim will be included in claim history. And then claim details summarizing your claim information, patient information. And then if there was adjudication, if there was remittances, you would see those here at the bottom. Okay. So that's what it looks like when you search on a file. So let's search. The file search is slightly different. The file search was over here. That was claim search. The file search gives you a slightly bit different view. It starts at a summary level here. Detail by clicking on the file ID gives you this different information. Shows you your claim processing at the top, claim distribution, and then the payer claim information there at the bottom. Okay. Now, if I had a remittance on the claim, let me show you what that looks like. If there is remittance processing results, let's show you what that looks like. Push this back a bit. Let's see, I think I find there's a better example of this. Hang on just a second. I want to show you what it looks like when we have adjudicated claims and how we have an online EOB that we generate and post to the claims that are adjudicated. Yeah, okay, hang on just a second. No, that's not what I want. Hang on just a second. I think it's over here. Yeah, okay. That one is, I think, has remittance on it. Yeah, here's your remittance information. Again, once we have adjudicated the claim and there's adjudication from AmeriHealth Caritas, link back to the claim here. You get that summary. And then you have this view EOB button that you can click on. And you get every adjudicated claim. Oops, I'm sorry. Every adjudicated claim gets an online EOB when it links back to the claim. And I'm sorry, on my demo account, it's not working right now. But you would just get an online EOB that you could print out and view if you wanted to. Now, you could also, if I wanted to go right into the remits, we've got remits over here. I can show that. It's a similar search screen here. Let's see. Let's use this one. Yeah. Hang on just a second. I can use the search fields that I want. Click search. And it's going to show the remittances. I've got that check number, EFT number, back from AmeriHealth Caritas, check date, check amount, when it was received. Typically, the default is going to be the processing is Express, your submitter ID. Again, the check number, EFT number is hyperlinked. I can click on it, and it's going to show me this detail. This is where I can not only view the 835 data here, this is where I could re-queue remittance also here in that button in the upper right-hand corner. And then again, if it links back to the claim, I have my claim details down here at the bottom and I can click on that claim ID and it comes back here to the adjudicated claim information and the service line adjudication information there. I can open up that and see all the details of the adjudication by line item. Again, here's where I can view the EOB also. Okay, so that's what I wanted to cover on that. If you have any questions about that, please let Marianne or Michelle know. Again, you do, in order to use enrollment or in order to use remittance processing, you do need to be enrolled. And we have that under payer tools here under enrollments. Now, I'll just quickly, I think we're running out of time today, but in order to enroll and be approved, we have that under payer tools. You can click on that. And this is, not going to show me there. Hang on just a second. This will show you, it'll walk you through the steps to enroll. There's just a few steps. You would find your provider, select the payer, and it would walk you through the steps to enroll and be approved, generating the agreement, submitting the agreement, getting approved. And we do want you to do that so you get remittance processing detail there. So that's what I wanted to cover there. Now, let me jump back. Let me stop sharing and reshare. Hang on just a moment. Let's jump back to the slide deck. That really completes what I wanted to cover there. Now, I'm going to pause for a second. I think we're running out of time today, but let me share back over here. That really completes the demo.
Bob, you do have a little bit more time.
Oh, great. Thank you. All right. So we'll get...
I may, Bob, real quick, since we do have a little bit more time, are you able to go over the UBO form?
Sure. Absolutely. Let me go back over there. Hang on. Let me just stop sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Hang on just a second. One moment. All right, you should be able to see the screen again. And really, it's just a variation of the same concept here of, you know, creating and tracking. We can come here to create a claim, go down to institutional, and it's going to drop us in the institutional form. But very similar features here in terms of the buttons, the blue buttons at the bottom, very similar. Very similar. The default is the UB form there, a tab, very similar claim detail, service line detail. All that's going to be similar. I click validate. It's going to tell me what's missing or invalid. Now, I would not want you to have a blank claim form, whether it's professional or institutional. I would like you to set up a claim form template for both professional and institutional purposes so that you have maybe some of this data pre-populated for yourself. Now, I'm not that familiar with the UB form, but anything that you can pre-populate and save it as a template will probably be a nice shortcut for yourself. And then once you drop into it, again, once you save it, drops it and makes it as an incomplete claim form that you can use on the work list. But it's really just a very, you know, in a way, it's a similar workflow. You can save it and step away. You can validate it and see what's required field-wise. When you click on the hyperlink, it's going to take you right to the boxes that it is referring to. Type of thing. And you would just complete the required fields, continue to validate little by little as you enter the required fields. The validation messages will keep reducing and eventually they'll disappear when you have all the required fields entered and you validate. It'll give you that green message at the top. And then you click submit form. It runs one final validation and then creates the new claim. Again, a few minutes after you've created, again, you can come back to search and find that claim after it processes. A few hours after you do that, there's going to be additional claim history with all the additional processing through as it makes its way through the Connect Center platform to be transmitted out to the payer. You would have additional claim history there. Okay. Any other questions about that? I'm not as knowledgeable on the UB form, but I know you can see on Connect Center, it's basically similar concepts where you validate, you can save, validate, you can copy, you can correct, those types of things. Anytime you can set up a template to make it easier for yourself. Anytime there's an existing patient, definitely use the copy claim feature for existing patients, because that will save you a lot of time. Instead of having a template, you can use that copy claim feature if it's an existing patient and just find a previously processed claim, copy it, and maybe the only, you know, there could be just a few things like the dates of service that need to be updated or any other data elements that might need to be updated. But if it was very similar, then it wouldn't take too many minutes to create a new claim from that copy claim.
Bob, I think you may have frozen again, but okay. I also have a question if there's an option on that UB04 to select to make it a corrected claim. So you would.
Sure. No, I don't
show us if they could put the original claim reference number, the payer's claim ID number.
Sure. Let's see. You know, I don't know what box that is.
Maybe it's further down within the institutional. I think it's a little further down. We get down to the last part. Looking for that little box. Original claim number.
Let's see. Hang on. Let me try to do a search for something here. No. Do you know where it is, Michelle? What specific box number?
Unfortunately, I don't have a paper claim. I haven't worked on the UB04 in the paper printout. If we could, can we go back up a little bit further, Bob? Actually, towards the top. There may be a field. Patient control number. Your patient control number is 3A. Medical record number. Type of bill. Can you click on the type of bill? Is there a drop down?
No.
We'll have this as a takeaway to get back to you. I think it was the user E. Allen. So we'll have this as a takeaway when we present the Q&A.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. All right, let's jump back over here and pick up where we left off over here. Hang on just a second. And let me refresh this one moment. Okay, here we go. Let's pick up from here. Try to pick up from here. Oops. Okay. You should be able to see the enhancement slide now, hopefully. Michelle or Marianne, can you see that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep, I see it. Thank you.
These are just some examples. As I said, Connect Center gets updated periodically. We do want to make sure it's always having the best features. And when we hear from our customers, our users, that they want some improvements, we do definitely release enhancements. These are just some examples of some of the enhancements on the claim form that we've done recently. So that's that. And then regarding the help resources, we'll pause. I think that covers the Q&A, I think. Were there any other questions that were submitted that we might want to review? Otherwise, I'd like to look at some of the help and support resources. Michelle and Marianne, were there any other questions that you'd like to talk about?
No, the only thing I think we wanted to clarify, if we could, and Holly, I might need your help on this. There's a little bit of confusion about whether or not the explanation of benefits is needed when you file a secondary claim. And I thought we discussed last session that for certain codes, the paper is required or an attachment is required, and that you're going to, I think you were going to try to work on a list of those codes to include in the Q&A. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we actually, since our last training, we actually found out that it's actually not code specific. So what requires a paper submission for a claim with an attached EOB is actually if the EOB has a has the denial from primary that spells out basically and says that it's a non-covered service. So sometimes when primary gives their denials, it's not always clear. So if it's not a clear denial where they're saying this is not a covered service, then that is when we need that EOB. It's actually not, we thought it was code specific. So for instance, like some of our ABA service codes, we know that oftentimes that's not covered by primary. So we were kind of, thinking, oh, that would definitely be a code that we would need that EOB. We would need to see that hard copy of the EOB. And again, we found that it's not code specific. It's actually based off of the denial reason from primary and if that is clear. So you would be able to submit an electronic submission for codes that have a clear denial code from the primary, like saying that it's not a covered service. So, and we'll put that in there in our follow-up from our meeting. So for anybody who is, who currently right now is submitting those hard copies of EOBs with their claims from secondary and you're unsure, just wait till you get the meeting minutes from this. We'll be sending those out later this week, and we'll have that spelled out as to if you can go ahead and start submitting those electronically based off of the EOB on the denial from primary, if that makes sense.
It does. Perfect. Thank you, Holly.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And I will say that in terms of submitting electronic secondaries, I think to me, best practices would kind of dictate that the best way to create and submit a secondary would be if you have a practice management system or billing system or EMR, definitely creating submitting from those systems as opposed to doing it on Connect Center. No, I love Connect Center. Believe me, I love it because it's got some nice features and everything. But if you are a submitter of claims from a billing system, practice management system, definitely best practice indicates that you would create and submit secondaries from those systems. And that would be a much better option than doing it on Connect Center. Okay. I'm back on my slide deck. Can you see the, I'm going to jump over to the kind of start talking about the different support resources we have. Can you see this getting started guide? This is going to be submitted out. We will have this, all these guides available. These are linkable. These are links here that take you out to the guides, and we will have this in the slide deck that we'll be sending out to everyone in attendance. But can everyone see these?
Yes, Bob, the list is up there.
Yeah, okay. So one of the most important ones is creating a professional claim. That is, that's very important that you, that one and the creating an institutional claim, those are extremely important. If you are submitting batches of claims to us in the 837, those are absolutely required reading because it tells you there are some very specific requirements up in the submitter area of the 837 file format that relate to your submitter IDs that were created on Connect Center. So those are extremely important. We've got some getting started guide here for Enrollment Central. So we do definitely want you to take advantage of those. Now, we can press on and talk about if you haven't signed up for Connect Center, we can kind of walk you through. Again, this is this URL is going to be required. It gets you started signing up for Connect Center. Again, you don't need to write this down, but the URL, will be sending out this slide deck, so you'll have the URL there. And basically, you can kind of see what at the very end of that URL, we've pre-populated it with what we'd call that Perform Care vendor code at the end there. And all you need to do is know the there's a payer ID and a CPID for professional institutional there. But when you click on that link, when you get the link and you click on it, it's going to take you here and you'll have the sign up buttons, either one of the sign up buttons that you can click on here down below or up above there that we've highlighted. And when you click on that sign up link, it's going to take you here. We're going to have your vendor code pre-populated for you. And then you'll just walk across the tabs here to basically create your account and create that first user account also. And when you walk across and complete that, create your account and create your first user, you'll create that first provider record on your account that you see there. When you do that, it's going to create and send you out an email confirming that you've created the account, what your account number is, you've created that account with your first provider, and you've created the account with your first user. And when you do that, you get this type of email confirming that information. You also get a second email confirming the user information, that first user, with a temporary password. You'll need to log in to Connect Center with that, with your first username and that first temporary password. When you do that, it'll have it all created, and you'd be able to log in and drop into the homepage and start using Connect Center. Again, within a few minutes after you've created your account and added that first provider, created that first user, it will generate those emails. Make sure you check your spam or junk folder. If you don't see it within an hour, definitely check your spam or junk folder. It's probably in there, and those emails will come to you. Now, we do want you to also sign up for these customer service alerts. You can see down here at the bottom, you can click here to sign up. What those are have to do with hearing from us. We like to send out notifications. If we know there's some maintenance coming on Connect Center or something, that maybe some new enhancements that are coming, we want you to know about that. If there's maybe some news about AmeriHealth Caritas, we're going to alert you to that. So please sign up for those customer service alerts. And when you do that, you'll get a search screen, that search area of the homepage that will allow you to search on those customer service alert emails that we've sent out. So please, after you sign up with your Connect Center account, the first thing I want you to do when you log in is sign up for those customer service alerts. Okay? And again, an example of an alert would be something along these lines, where we've got some maintenance. We describe the maintenance in the email. We tell you the time period it starts, time period it ends. So that's very important. Okay. Now, if you are an administrative user, that first user is set up as an administrative user. Now, Holly, I'm going to pause to see how we're doing on time, because I know we're about 10 minutes before the top of the hour. So how are we doing on time? And I think you're muted, Holly.
Sorry about that. Thank you so much. Are there any questions for Bob? I think that we are good to go. Michelle, there's nothing there. Marianne, we're good.
Agreed. Yep. The last few questions were about how to sign up, and Bob just covered that.
Awesome.
Well, thank you, Change Healthcare, so much. Bob did a wonderful job. And Marianne and Michelle, we appreciate you helping answer questions that were specific to Change Healthcare. We appreciate everybody's time today. This does conclude our meeting. As I said before, we'll be sending out all of the presentations from today's training, from our Perform Care presentation, as well as Change Healthcare, along with a Q&A of all questions. Again, please give us time to get that prepared. We'll send it out to all participants. You can also look for a survey that's going to come out. We're always looking for ways to improve, and we want to make sure that, you know, in future we provide this training, we don't miss things that you're looking to, you know, be reviewed, and also just kind of understand our performance and how we can do it better in the future. So look for that survey as well. Outside of that, we are going to, you know, close today's training. We thank you guys so much, and we hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Holly.
Take care.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, everyone.